really tough for me to tell Abby to turn Boston down.
I know. Whenever I play Boston, bad news. Right.
Yeah, it's my favorite band. Perry Miller sitting in for the Fishing Joel Heitkamp. I'm joined in studio by Charlie Johnson with the Fargo-Moorhead Convention and Visitors Bureau. I should say Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo.
West Fargo also, yes.
Convention and Visitors Bureau. And correct. Deb Matherin, former state senator. You've got a lot of formers.
I do. I'm retired. So yeah. Yeah. Former everything.
But except retired. Currently retired.
She's retired. I'm probably older than she is.
Right, right. And Deb, we're going to talk about the potential Fargo Dome expansion.
Yes.
And Deb, you're on the task force, correct?
I am. We're calling it a steering committee. I'm a co-chair along with Doug Restemeyer.
Yep. Okay. Very good. So heard about this on the news this morning. Is it $41 million that I see here, or is it $100?
Well, it's $100. Rob Thobelick thinks it's going to end up being $140 million. He's probably right with the way construction's going. The current estimate's $131, but you know, things change.
They had $85 million for the restoration remodel, and so we'd set that at $90. You know what inflation is doing.
Yeah, and then about $40 to $45 million for the addition, which would be the convention conference space. It'd be a 90,000 square foot addition, which would include a 45,000 square foot contiguous room that can be divided multiple different ways, and also will have its own pre-function space, storage, catering, kitchen, which of course is vital to that case.
Right.
And then in addition to the space that gets added, there will also be access to the existing meeting rooms on the upper level of the Fargo Dome, which is another 11,000 square feet that can be divided four ways. Plus, there are some smaller rooms down below. And in this project also, in the Fargo Dome proper, if it goes through as part of the renovation, there will be additional meeting space added where the current, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Deb, but I think the idea is where the current administrative offices are, they'd be moved to a different part, then that would be able to create more what we call breakout space.
Okay. Are you hearing any pushback from some of the area places that have big conventions now? You know, the big hotels, the conference centers.
We don't have true convention space in this community.
Okay.
So I think there's probably a little trepidation among some of them. I would do my best to alleviate that trepidation, because the idea is we can't currently bring in conventions or conferences at the same level as our competitors in Grand Forks, Bismarck, Duluth, Sioux Falls, St. Cloud, Rochester, the ones that we compete with regionally. We just don't have the meeting space in Fargo to compete with them. The Delta by Marriott has the largest single ballroom in this community. It's 15,000 square feet. They have a total of 23,000 square feet. They do a great job. Likewise, the Holiday Inn in Fargo is probably one of the best Holiday Inns you'll find in the country. They have 27,000 square feet total of space. Think about that in terms of, though, we're going to add 45,000 at the Fargo Dome if this is approved. They have 27,000 square feet. Their largest ballroom is about 11,000 square feet. They do wonderful work, and we love them, and we will continue to use them for meetings that fit in those spaces.
Sure.
But the modern convention, you know, of any size, even if it's got 500 or 600 people, you can handle that number of people at one of those hotels. But if they need a commensurate exhibit space to go with their general session space, plus the breakout space. So those are the basic three basic tools legs of a stool of a modern conference. They just can't accommodate that kind of exhibition space.
Charlie,
we need
plus
exhibition space.
We can
space.
Use that floor space at the Fargo Dome,
if
too.
We, God forbid, we ever get something huge like 2,000 people or something similar to the Williston Basin Oil Conference, which I tried to get for a few years. It's like tilting at windmills, but we still think we would love to have them come here. If you had a big event like that, then you have the 80,000 square feet on the arena floor that you can use for something like that occasionally.
So if you talk, let's not talk about, you know, some of the hockey tournaments and the youth wrestling that bring a ton of people to town.
Oh, yeah.
But what is the biggest event, you know, a convention-wise that the city could handle right now, would you say, number-wise?
actually, we have just about every year we have a district conference of the Jehovah's Witnesses, which takes place at the Shields Arena, and they have 3,000 to 4,000 people who come for that. But they're a unique group, and they are willing to use whatever's available out there for breakout space. And we love them to death because they come usually the first weekend in July, right before Fourth of July. That's the biggest single conference that we have here on a regular basis. Other than that, we're talking, for actual conferences, anywhere from 200 to 500, occasionally 700, and we have a hard time getting them in. We're not able to convince the North Dakota Association of Counties to bring its annual meeting to us,
sure.
Which breaks my heart. Because we don't have a space that can accommodate all the exhibit space they need. A lot of conferences depend on the sponsor, that is to say exhibitor revenue, to make their conference happen. So we can't host them. We can't get the League of Cities to come here anymore. We just don't have space for them. And the people who run those hotels, Mike Preckel from the Holiday Inn, who's the manager of the Holiday Inn, longtime board member at the CVB, he's on the steering committee, and he will tell you that they have to backfill, as I'm sure the Delta does too, because they have events that come there every year that are outgrowing them. They can't fit them anymore. And when they outgrow those places, we don't have any place else to put them.
And Perry, to think that Bismarck beats us in being able to host conferences. You know, we like to think that we're competitive, but it's getting to the point we're not.
Sure. I just thought the Association of Counties was always in Bismarck because it was the capital and centrally located.
We got within... a hair's breadth of catching them a few years ago, and then and they said, I don't think we can fit all of our exhibits there. So it was that close. I know we can get them to get it. If we have the proper space, I'm confident we can convince them to put us in the rotation.
Sure. Yep. And I have to believe that if you look at the Holiday Inn or the Delta, the amount of rooms that they'll generate from a big conference will obviously augment their operations nicely.
Absolutely. It's we call it compression, whatever hotels there are around the Fargo Dome will fill up quickly, and then it'll spread out because we will need the hotels to help out with that. So,
sure.
I think ultimately that's the part. I'm going to let Deb talk more about the Fargo Dome in a minute, but that's you have to renovate the Fargo Dome if you want to keep it viable. If you don't fix it, if you don't keep it up, and make improvements. It'll ultimately become unusable. It'll become the Civic Auditorium of 2050, you have to support that, just to keep it going the way it is, to make it better amenities and more customer friendly. The thing that will actually increase economic impact in this community is adding the conference center.
Okay. Speaking of the Civic, does the Civic remain in the rotation? Does it stay standing? Does it maybe get knocked down and developed into housing? Thoughts
on
that?
We looked at that a few years ago, looked at turning it into a performance and arts center for Fargo. Lots of ideas have been floated and just nothing, the can keeps getting kicked down the road.
Yeah.
So nothing has been
done. It's
still
under discussion.
And to renovate a building like that, we thought maybe better to tear it down and start something new.
How old is the original Civic?
Opened in like 59 or 60, something like that.
I could believe that.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at the time, it was
great.
Huge.
Yeah, it was great.
I remember going to concerts in the 70s.
Well, and then we had Centennial Hall, which they added in the 80s, which helped. That was a big, a decent exhibition space.
Yep.
But then that got torn down to make way for the new City Hall. It's just outlived its usefulness.
Sure.
Someday something will happen there.
Right. Gotcha. Welcome back. Perry Miller sitting in for Joel, who's up fishing. Sitting in on the News and Views Radio Network, joined in studio by Charlie Johnson with the Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo Convention and Visitors Bureau and former state senator and Fargo Dome Task Force member, we'll call it. Steering committee, right?
Debbie, right.
Steering committee. We're talking about the potential expansion of the Fargo Dome. One of the things I noticed in the materials was... additional handicap seats. And I was surprised at how few there really are there. Only like 43 currently?
Correct. Yeah, I'm not even certain. Yeah, we do have 43 right now, and we're looking at taking that to 112. And they call it accessible seating now.
Sure.
So, and then an additional 112 for companions.
Right.
You almost have to have something there for someone to help out. So
absolutely, that is a wonderful addition.
Right.
Yep. Right. And I saw something about more elevators, correct?
Right. Was it, Charlie, were they looking at about 5 elevators total?
Yeah, I think the escalators are not that popular, so they're probably going to go away. They're going to replace them with some new elevators.
Putting in
plus a freight elevator on the south side of the building, which they really need.
Okay. Before we get to the money, one last question about you're going to be hosting a lot of conferences and whatnot. So the food, will the food vending side be open to like vendors? Would they have to register? Or is the Fargo Dome going to produce the food right there internally?
Well, they do have some catering, but yes, we always bring in vendors, and what they do is apply. Because when I was on the Fargo Dome Authority, we would have vendors apply, and we approved most everyone.
Okay.
And a lot of these people that come in and work and make money for their charity organizations, even in Minnesota. So it's really a worthwhile cause.
A lot of local groups will man the or staff the concession stands, and then they get a cut of what's sold, and that's how they help support
A lot of volunteers UVA. There.
But as far as catering goes, it'll be open, I think, to anyone.
Are they going to address the vending situation? Because, if you're standing in line at a vendor, you're at a right angle to the people trying to get through to the bathrooms. Is that going to change?
Absolutely, that's going to change.
Going to get fixed.
And that's one of the main reasons for the remodel is to clear up those corridors. Right now, you can't tell where the concession line ends and the bathroom line begins.
It's a blur.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And I noticed they were adding more bathrooms because I've witnessed this where, especially for the ladies, it is tough.
We have 132 fixtures for females right now, and that'll go to about 260 plus up to 270.
Okay.
And then they're going to add some men's too, but not nearly as many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's if
I've never heard them complaining about having to wait.
No, it's not bad. A little bit. Not bad. Not bad at all. So.
And the addition of space around the concourse. They can't make the concourse itself bigger, but they're putting bump outs in some of the corners and then also adding space on
Northeast
the west addition.
Southwest.
Yes. And then so it's going to allow better circulation and space for more concessions.
Sure.
So there will be. Should be shorter lines at the concession stands.
Right now, if you want concessions or to use a bathroom and you're on the floor of the arena, you have to go up the stairs. There is one small little, and I think they have a porta potty down there.
Okay.
But that will change. We'll have concessions and restrooms on that main floor.
Okay. We got about 2 minutes left. Let's talk about the fun topic, money.
All right.
What's the plan for, it's got to be approved by the voters, correct?
Right.
Correct. Well, first this needs to move forward through the city commission. They have to move it forward. So
September 5th will probably be the meeting where that happens.
Correct.
Okay. When do you see it coming to a public vote?
December 5th.
Oh, December 5th.
One day off of 35 years from the original vote.
Really?
So a little nostalgia. Mm-hmm. We want to keep it away from presidential primary city commission races. Mm-hmm. We want this to be a standalone. There will be absentee balloting. So if you know you might not make it if weather's not good or you're out of town, can absolutely get an absentee ballot.
The city auditor will be running this election.
Sure.
We'll not go through the county. It'll be a paper ballot, 3 polling stations.
Okay.
But you'll learn more about that as it goes on.
So going back in history, how did the Fargo Dome perform compared to the initial projections?
Very well.
It did. Okay.
They had that debt repaid within about 10 years of the projected 20. We have estimated very conservatively on this one too. So once that's repaid, there's no reason that can't happen again where the voters can redirect that to go elsewhere, maybe infrastructure, something that Fargo needs.
And we're talking about a quarter cent sales tax for 20 years, which would bring Fargo to 7.75%.
Okay.
And then 3 additional cents on the lodging tax, which will bring the lodging tax to 6 cents in Fargo, not Morehead and West Fargo, just Fargo.
Just Fargo.
We're talking about.
Okay.
And we're cognizant of taxes and people, inflation.
Where can people find more info?
We will have sites advertised. I don't have that.
I might have to have you carry over the break here, guys. We got to cut to a break.
Okay.
We'll be right back on News and Views. Welcome back, Perry Miller. We're in the last segment of News and Views, joined by Charlie Johnson from the Convention and Visitors Bureau and Deb Mathern from the Steering Committee. And hey, did you notice Charlie was finger dancing to that
Were
song?
Were you?
He was.
Oh,
sorry.
Man, I couldn't see it. No, that's okay. Perry's been dancing to every song, and I'm giving him crap.
Yeah, she gives me grief. Well, she's my daughter, so she gives me
Maybe
grief.
Maybe it's an old man thing.
Could be.
I'm a lot older than your dad.
I also play Not songs, much. Although I didn't know this one, but I play songs that I like, but that I also know that he'll like.
That's good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's very kind.
I've become very accustomed to the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
Familiar with them. Yeah.
Yeah. I've learned Boston, and he's learned the Jonas Brothers.
There you go. So it's a give and take. Yeah. Yeah. Let's get back to the money thing. We kind of ran out of time there. Let's talk about, first there's a question that came in, two questions. What's the special election cost and will the Fargo Dome fund pay for it? That has what, $40 million in it now?
I have no idea how much it costs. Sorry, okay. I'm not prepared to answer that question. The city of Fargo is funding the election, whether they take it out of the Fargo Dome surplus or not, I don't know. Yeah. But the point there is, thank you for bringing that up, the Fargo Dome has a $41 million surplus, which again makes it unique among facilities of its size.
We call that a capital account.
Account, right. And so
escrow.
$30 million of that will go toward this project. So
that
they're putting skin in the game from their own reserves to jumpstart this project. And then the quarter cent sales tax will cover the renovations and additions to the dome proper.
Right.
And then the 3 cents on the lodging tax, which will bring us to 6 cents in Fargo, will basically cover the addition of the conference space, which is appropriate because it's designed to bring people into the community.
Based on 2022 sales in Fargo, we brought in gross $3.3 billion. A quarter cent of that would take us to $8.25 million.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Would it not make sense to have a small ticket surcharge? Because then the people that are using the dome are paying it directly.
That has not come up. It's not part of this proposal, but there certainly are places that do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was sort of my idea, but anyway.
And part of the idea for using the quarter cent sales tax and the lodging tax is 90% paid by people from outside the community. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty simple to comprehend as why we would choose that. But even the sales tax is 40 to 45% collected from people who are not Fargo residents.
Okay.
It may include people like me who live in Moorhead.
So they'll help pay for the renovation and for the facility.
We help pay for that. This means that the community itself is not paying the bulk of the cost.
Okay, gotcha.
There are absolutely no property taxes associated with this at all. This is strictly those taxes.
Good to know. Says a question, would parking spots be taken away?
No, really? It will be a net neutral. Right now we have 3,870. We're projecting with the changes on the west side that we would have 3,920, so a gain of about 50 parking spaces.
Okay, gotcha. You can't really advocate for or against the
city. I can't tell, and I never would tell people how to vote. I can just tell you that we've been hoping to get a convention space in this community for as long as I've been at the CVB, which is 11 years, and have been talking about it a long time.
And
I can tell you why we
too.
Need it. Yes. Yep. Thank you.
Yep. We started looking at this 10 years ago when I was on the Fargo Dome Authority, Perry, and it's been a dream of people like Charlie, and I'm no longer involved in conferences, but I see what it'll do for our city. It's going to bring in people.
Sure.
The money comes into the city of Fargo. What's spent here is all the less that the residents have to pay for.
Right.
And I think if you asked NDSU, and I'm sure you will, they would say that improvements in the Fargo Dome would be very valuable to them, especially from the circulation side
Definitely.
Of it.
Definitely.
Text just came in, said surcharge buys and football tickets because they preclude us from getting a lot of concerts in here. So
that's true.
They are the main tenant.
Yeah. Probably makes a point.
We mark off all those playoff dates, and you can't book a concert.
Is there a website or anything people can get more information?
Not quite yet, but after that September 5th city commission meeting, assuming at least three of the commissioners vote to move this forward, then you will see some. We'll have an informational campaign on our FargoMoorhead.org website, information only. The city will have some of that as well on the city website.
And we can get it to you for your website.
Yes.
Sure.
And there is the steering committee is mounting a private vote campaign,
right? Yep.
So they can do that.
All right. Very good. Charlie Johnson, Deb Matherin, thanks for coming in. Thanks for staying longer than I originally asked.
Sorry we took so much time. But thank you.
It was
thank
very,
you.
Very,
thanks
very
for having
informative.
Us.
Yeah,
we'll come
great
back.
Great to get the facts out there.
Yeah. Appreciate you coming in.